We may sing that again before we close this morning. I feel like reaching. You ever feel like reaching before? You know, there's times like, well, I can't get that, so I don't even try. But there's times, well, let me try. Let me reach. Let me go as far as I can go. Maybe God will do the rest. But I got to reach. And this morning, I'm telling you, I'm reaching for somebody this morning. I'm going beyond just a little sermon. I'm reaching for you this morning. This may be your last opportunity. Brother Fowler didn't know the next day he wouldn't be living at 47 years old. I'm reaching for you this morning. Hear my text and I'll let you be seated. Mark 8 and 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he has come in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. My God, if we ever lived in a sinful and an adulterous generation, this is it. It's not time to put our light under a bushel and hide it. Oh no, as the song says. It's time, he said, when men light a candle, they put it on a candlestick that everyone in the room can get the light from it. Hallelujah. I want to preach, it's a strange little title, but I want to help everybody. We all suffer from this. Getting past the bars of embarrassment. Getting past the bars of embarrassment. God, I do ask you this morning for the favor of the Holy Ghost to work in the mind of somebody today that needs to hear this so they can reach what you want them to reach. Because they'll never, ever reach it behind the bars of embarrassment. In the name of the Lord, I ask you to teach them how to get past this in the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Many times in the Bible, they use the word ashamed. And I would like to use the synonym word embarrassed. There may be some small differences, but they're basically the same thing. It's an easier word for you to understand today. A lot of times, shame, you think of it not as being embarrassed. We think of embarrassment. It's like, oh, I'm and truly this morning, I want to thank Brother Constance for his testimony, because you heard him first say, I'm not used to doing this. I'm not used to. But you see, he broke the bars. He broke the bars of embarrassment. Now it's not so hard. Now it's a lot easier. You've got to get past the bars of embarrassment. Amen. I think this will touch all of us. If we look, and you know, I'm a man of origin, a man of words. I like to know where something came from. And when you look at the word embarrass, I want you to notice embedded in the word is the word bar, because that's where it comes from. Amen. It means to be within the bars. Within the bars. It means to be perplexed, thrown into doubt, to block, to hinder, to confuse, or to obstruct. Embarrassment is your own prison that you have set up. It's already getting quiet in here. It's your own prison that you set up that restricts you from moving beyond your inward feelings. You stop right there. Could do a lot more, but and I've read you a scripture that said, he, whosoever is embarrassed of me in this embarrassing generation. Embarrassment is probably one reason why people do not reach their fullest potential. It's a feeling about other people. It's a feeling how you think other people will think. And they may not think that at all, but you think for them. And it bothers and troubles you so that you stay behind the bars. A poor person doesn't know they're poor as long as they're around other poor people. They didn't notice that the hole in the blue jeans wasn't right until they saw that. Now, of course, that's back in style, but well, it never was in style in my books. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. You didn't know you was poor. You saw someone who was wealthy, and you go, oh, my God, I'm embarrassed because I don't have this, I don't have that. Now, embarrassment, and you never try to excel because these bars keep you back. Many times the affluent suppress those that are less affluent and intimidate them till they go back behind their bars and don't want to come out. If there was anybody who was affluent and educated, it was Paul. Paul was a man that was not ashamed. He wasn't ashamed to kill Christians, and he wasn't ashamed to be a Christian. And he wrote so many times in the Bible things that he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It could be pretty embarrassing to be killing Christians one day and become one the next day. And everybody, I thought you were killing Christians and now you're one? Well, I crawl back in that bar. Paul was a man that stood up to kings, and yet he stood up to prisoners. He was not embarrassed. He went to Mars Hill one day, and the Bible says as he passed by, he noticed a superscription on their altar that said, to the unknown God. All these Greeks were superstitious. They had cow gods, they had the moon gods, sun gods, and all these gods. And they said, maybe we forgot one. Let's just put the unknown God. And Paul walked by and says, I know that one. The one you don't know, that's the one I know. That's the one I know. Now let me tell you about our God. And the Bible says they were ready to hear about this other God until he talked about the resurrection of the dead. And then they mocked him and they ridiculed him and scorned him with laughter. Howbeit, two or three followed him. Hallelujah. This was a man that didn't care if you laughed and mocked and criticized him. He was going to proclaim the name of the Lord. Then the Bible said that Christ came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to preach unto the poor, to set at liberty them are captive. He went to those that are behind the bars. He said this. He told Timothy. Timothy was a young preacher, probably under quite a bit of persecution and from maybe within and without. But he told him this, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of my scars. Amen. For I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep me against that day the things I have committed unto him. How many of you this morning are not ashamed? I'm not ashamed. Amen. I'm not ashamed. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed to pray for my food when I sit down at a restaurant. Amen. If you don't want to pray, that's not going to stop me from praying. I want to pray. If it embarrasses you, that's fine. But I want to thank the Lord. Amen. Bars of embarrassment. And sometimes your greatest enemy is what you set up. Wondering, what will they think? That's going to sound stupid. They may not like me. But don't feel bad. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm trying to get you out from behind the bars. He broke through the bars. Jesus would teach a parable to his own disciples, and they would listen to the parable. Amen, brother. Preach it, brother. Amen. Let it be so. Do you understand what he said? No. Ask him, no, not me. And they would not ask him, but privately. And they'd pull him to the side and say, what did you mean by that? Don't want them to know, I don't know. I don't want them to know that I'm following him, but I don't even know what he's talking about. Embarrassing, isn't it? And so he would come to the side and he would teach them. For he taught them, the Bible says in Mark 39 and 31, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. And they understood not. They understood not. They understood not that saying and were afraid or embarrassed to ask him, what do you mean? Kill you and rise again the third day. And the Lord perceived that they need to understand this. He said, I've got to break through these bars they've got of embarrassment and not asking me. You ever see where Christ railed on them for? No. He always encouraged them. So he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way. Back there when I was teaching, y'all started talking, and what was it? And guess what? He even asked them that, and they held their peace. Why? They were embarrassed about what they were talking about. But they held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Why don't you just come out and say, Master, we're wondering who will be the greatest? At least James and John said, can we sit on the right and the left? And he answered them. But they were embarrassed. And Jesus recognized, just like I'm trying to get you to recognize, that you've got to get past the bars of embarrassment. So here's what he does. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first. See, they haven't even told him. But he knew what was in their heart and what they were doing. He calls them together, and if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he said, so you'll understand it better. He took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, get the picture, the child is in his arms. Whosoever shall receive of such child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. What he's trying to teach them is this is what you're called to do. This is the greatest thing you can do, is help someone who's helpless. They were too embarrassed because they were fighting over who's going to sit in the right and who's going to sit in the left and who's going to be the ruler and who's going to be. But why not ask, said Lord, is this what this is about? Do you know how many people that go to church and say, what do they believe at that church? And you say, I don't know. I don't know. And they're embarrassed to ask. Can I make an announcement? Please ask. Please ask. Squabbling about who would be the greatest ended when he put the child in his arms. No more squabbling, no more wondering, because now you know. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. Brother Weaver, he waited till it was dark. He waited till it was night. Because he didn't want any of those other rulers talking about him. And so he just was a little bit too, I want to know, but I'm a little bit too embarrassed to ask him. So he goes by night. And some of the most profound words we have in the Bible is what he told this man, who was too embarrassed to go by day. But yet there was another man who was, I think he was a tax collector. He was a very wealthy man, the Bible says. His name was Zacchaeus. He's not embarrassed. He climbed a tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Which way is he going? And he ran, because the Bible says he was short stature. And he climbs up a tree, and the Lord passes by and saw him in the tree. He had gotten past the bars of embarrassment. And said, I got to see him one way or another. I'm going to run ahead. I may be short, but I'm going to find a way to see him. And this affluent man climbs a sycamore tree. And when the Lord came by, who did he notice? Him. Him. And he called him out of the tree and said, salvation has come to your house this day. Get past the bars of your embarrassment into the place where God can use you like never before. Amen. Potential is no good as long as it stays in the bottle. Electricity is no good unless the switch is turned on. It's all just potential. I want to give you this story. It's a wonderful story of a man who was great but yet embarrassed. We read in 2 Kings 5:1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man, meaning he was very wealthy and very well known with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. The Lord used him. He was also a mighty man of valor. But he was a leper. I don't want anybody to know that I'm a leper. Just let them think of me as a mighty man. He was ashamed. You always hide what you're ashamed of. Adam, where art thou? Why are you hiding? I was afraid. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. Because you told me not to do this and I did it anyway. I'm embarrassed. Embarrassment puts fear inside of a person. And we are not appointed to fear. Fear freezes you. And so this mighty man, Naaman, whom the Lord had used, they had taken from the armies captive a little maid. And the little maid happened to work for his master, and she knew of a prophet that was in another city, another country, that could heal Naaman. So she says, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he will recover him from his leprosy." And so one went in and told the Lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is in the land of Israel." And verse 5 says, "And the king of Syria said, go to, I will send a letter to the king of Syria." Well, let's go. She didn't say that. She said, "There is a prophet." But no, we're going to work on the level of kings. Thinking that it'll be done this high level. Because prophets were not well thought of in that day. "And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment." Is that what it takes to get healed? No. But that's what he thought it would take to get healed. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God?" He thought that he had come for him to heal him. He said, "Am I God? He sent me this letter to heal this man. I'm not God." He said, "He seeketh a quarrel with me." What he wants to do is start trouble. "And it was so," the Bible says, "that when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king had rent his clothes, he sent to the king and said, why did you rend your clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." He didn't send you to the king. He sent you to the prophet. And when you knew there was a prophet in Israel, you knew there was a God in Israel. So Naaman came with horses and with chariots, and he goes and he stands at the door of Elisha. Now, I just imagine he was doing this. When he got to the little home, you know, he come out of this big mansion. Now he's got to tap, tap, tap. And the door opens while he's standing there. And it wasn't Brother Elisha, it was his messenger. He didn't even get up. He just sent a messenger. And he said, probably with the door just cracked open, you know, he said, "Go wash in Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come again to thee." He didn't even tell him what was wrong. Did you notice that? He just told him what his answer was. "And thou shalt be clean. Go to Jordan River, wash it 7 times and you'll be clean." And Naaman was wroth. He was angry. He went away and he said, "Behold, I thought." There's where you go wrong. "Behold, I thought. I was embarrassed to do this, and now look at what they said. I'll never do that again." And you go back behind your bars. "Behold, I thought he will surely come out." I don't even know what he looks like. "And stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over this place and recover my leper." But no, I did all of this for nothing. "Are there not 2 other rivers in Damascus that are better than the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" That's humiliating to go to Jordan River. Of all the rivers he picked out, it was called Muddy Jordan. A man of honor like me going to Barnes Creek? Couldn't I at least go to Whiskey Chitta? So he turned and went away in rage. Okay, keep your leprosy. Because it will eat up your riches. It'll eat up your fame. Watch verse 13. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? Isn't that what you want anyway? Isn't that the point anyway, to be healed? Does it really matter how we do this thing? You know why some people don't come up and get prayed for? You know why some people don't even get the Holy Ghost? I don't want to act stupid. And most of those that I know that said that, when they got it, they acted stupid. I ain't going to shout like they do and they're screaming all over the place. Don't tell God what you're not going to do. Isn't the point getting saved? Isn't the point getting your life right with God? Isn't the point getting well? Isn't the point to wash and be clean? Didn't you hear what he said? It will work. But you're so worried about your image. My hair might get messed up. Something might run down my face. Then keep your leprosy. Keep it. And it will destroy you. Okay? It struck a bell with him. Then when he down, he humbled himself. And he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. I don't know if he looked every time or he went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But anyway, just whatever it was, the end result was going to be the same. It took 7 times. He dipped 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. My God, God didn't just give him an old man's flesh. He gave him the flesh of a little. Look what happens when you get past the bars of embarrassment. God not only let him keep his wealth and keep his honor and keep all those things, but he healed him too. I hope I'm helping somebody this morning. Embarrassment. Embarrassed to meet people that, because you're messed up, and now you don't want to face them. He said, this text scripture again, as they come, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed, let's just use embarrassed of me, and of my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be embarrassed on that day, when he comes in his glory of his Father and with his holy angels. It's going to happen, my brothers and sisters. What are you embarrassed about? He's coming back just like he said he would. Amen. This generation that we live in today is the most sinful generation we have ever seen. It's unbelievable. They call evil good, just like the Bible says, and good evil, just like the book says. And Jeremiah said this in 8 and 12. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Not just a little sin, an abominable sin, the ultimate sin. Nay, no. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. It didn't even strike them that this could be embarrassing. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall, in the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Don't let this morning the bars of embarrassment keep you back. They're not embarrassed. They're marching out there for their rights. And it's evil for the most part. And here we sit. I'm embarrassed to hold a sign. I'm not saying you should. But what I'm telling you is they're not embarrassed. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron, the Bible says. I wrote this last note. I said, greater is he that is in me than he that is after me. Yeah, greater is he that's in me than he that's after me. Because what's in the world is what's after me. Now I close with this. I had a dream last night. And this is where I'm reaching. I had a dream. About 4 o'clock in the morning. And I came into a room with people that were waiting to go to hell. This morning, you know, somebody, if you die, you're going to hell. You know that. I don't need to convince you that or condemn you of that. You know that. And I walked into this room. There were young, there were old, and in between. Some were slumped over, others were crying, waiting in a chamber to go to hell. And one would come by and say, "What did you do?" And I don't recall anything they said, but I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. And I looked across the room and I saw them all in this room, sitting at different levels, and old and young and everybody, and they were waiting to go to hell. And the word of the Lord came to me and said, "Tell them none of them were going to hell." And I said, "I've got something I want to tell all of you." They looked up. I said, "None of y'all are going to hell." Their eyes got big. I said, "Because of Christ. You don't have to go to hell." Thank you, Jesus. And their faces lit up. And I woke up. Would you stand? I'm reaching for everyone here this morning. Don't be embarrassed to think you're going to hell. Don't be embarrassed to say, "I need a touch from the Lord." Don't be embarrassed to say, "I need something from God. I'm just on a high." I'm asking you to make your way down here. If you got to drag somebody down here because they're embarrassed, drag them down here. We've got to get past the bars of embarrassment. Eternity is too long. Your life is too long not to have the privilege of coming to Christ. I'm giving you hope like I give those in that dungeon. That's what it was. It was a dungeon. And I was giving them the hope of Christ and the mercies of Christ and the love of Christ. This morning, why would you be lost when you can be saved? Make your way. Come on. You know in your heart where you're going. If something happens, you get out on the highway and somebody takes your life, you know where you're going. And you know, I don't preach like this often, but I'm reaching. And the reason I'm reaching is because you're on the edge of it. I just got to reach you and pull you in. Would you raise your hands as they sing this morning? Hallelujah. There's so much more that God wants to do through you and can do through you. If you could put your prison bars behind you and get past that point of caring what other people think. We're all subject to this, myself included. You can ask my mother. I didn't hardly talk, and now I don't shut up. When y'all start paying my bills, so to speak, I'll start listening and caring, so to speak. But the people that you're trying to help, they don't pay your bills. You're trying to help them. I don't know how judgment will be. I really don't. I don't know where the Lord will say, "You know, that person you was next to in Walmart when I spoke to you to speak to them and you was too embarrassed, I'm embarrassed of you too." That's what the scripture says. When I moved on you, you backed up. So I'm backing up. Oh, I think we all need to say, "Lord, forgive me for my past mistakes. I'm sorry, Lord, I didn't listen to that voice when I should have listened to it." I've learned to heed to that voice. Heed to it and say, "God, forgive me for the times I didn't, but from now on, Lord, I'm changing my way. You just prick my heart a little bit and I'm gone. I'm going to do what you called me to do." They can laugh and scorn and look at me cross-eyed if they want to, but I've done what the Lord told me to do. Get past it. And when you do, it's a wide open world out there that needs you. Amen. Thank the Lord. God bless you today. I'm thankful for, I think y'all had a good ladies' meeting yesterday, and I appreciate that. I went and walked around that ladies' room, prayed, and it's going to be a good outreach for the church. I'm excited what God is doing for this church. Amen. And I'm not embarrassed of it. You know, I got here, there was 19 folks around. I don't know, I think Brother Valentine said that there was 19 and four of those was mine. I don't know. And some of you that was here. I wasn't embarrassed. This is what God called me to do. You can't run 200 if you don't start with something, right? But little as much if God is in it. And if God is in it, what's there to be embarrassed about? And God was in this thing. Amen. And all I want to do is what God wants me to do. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I come before you in the waning moments of this service. I know somebody's heart has been stirred up. And I know a lot of people are saying that he's talking to me this morning. And I'm talking to myself, Lord. Help us to be as bold as the world is. They're bold. Why aren't we bold? It was that boldness that brought the gospel in. The gospel message came through Peter being bold that day. And Lord, help us to be bold and not crawl into a shell, into a hole because of embarrassment. Lord, help us to get past those bars forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Be careful going home. Don't forget.